So how's Bishop Alexander doing? Is it
He's much
get well?
better. He's home.
Good.
No news is good news. I know he went home and he was improving.
Good.
So he actually he couldn't drive home, or they felt that he shouldn't drive home. So somebody actually came to help him. All right, finally got this. All right, Matthew, welcome, Michael and Katie, David, and I'll put my video on so y'all can look at my beautiful face.
Good
So,
evening, Father.
good evening, my friend. So before we begin, I wanted to share, this is something I'd like to give to everybody who is new, and I haven't done this for a few times. So here, hey, Kevin, did I get this to you?
I think I got it right here. Anyone?
Okay,
This
can
is
you,
the.
there's two sheets. There's, you may have only
Okay.
had one of the sheets. Hey, Chuck, this is for you.
Thank you.
Oh,
Okay.
so I think there are more going around.
Oh, thank you.
And that's for catechism. They're
No,
there.
I should be able to for
That's where everybody knows what the program is. I just leave that there, and just read it for yourselves. But what it explains is essentially the order of what I'm doing: God, Trinity, Holy Spirit. I just did creation, and so that's the cycle that we're going to be going through. That's what I'd like to see everybody go through, to have just kind of a working knowledge of everything we're doing. Okay. So stump the priest. We'd like to stump the priest. Who has a question? Somebody told me I had a question earlier to email me. But anybody have a question?
I sent you an email.
Yes, that's right. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I was curious about the iconography. I know attended seminary, if they trained you into sort of properly painting those icons.
That's a great question. So, there is a whole school on iconography and how it's done, and there's different traditions, but generally there's, they're in the same area. So the priest who did it here, priest who did it here, his name Father Dimitri Luz, he lives in St. Augustine. He did go to seminary. He went to no. I got everybody telling me what to do. I really like my Apple Watch, except when it does that.
Right.
So, Father Dimitri went to Jordanville many, 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 many years ago. He was actually a kid in school in New York, where he St. John Maximovich was. So he knew St. John Maximovich as a little boy. Father Dimitri is at least 10 years older than me. Maybe longer. In fact, I have a friend of mine who lives in Gainesville, who's now in his 90s. He knew St. John Maximovich when he was a little boy in Shanghai and served in his altar.
Wow.
So it's really cool. And he told me all about, I remember when Lee and I first got married, or before we got married, he said, man, I grew up in Shanghai, and he says, this really amazing bishop we had, he was this, and he told me all these stories about this really holy man. And then, like 5 years later, I read a book about Saint John Maximovich of Shanghai, who's made this. You don't make saints, but recognizes the saint. And I sent him the book. I said, "That's him. That's him." Yeah.
Awesome.
But anyway, so he studied there. But to become an iconographer, so you don't have to have seminary training. There is, in fact, the Saint Vladimir Seminary right now. They started a new section called Sacred Arts, which is basically iconography and choir directing, or right, and even like. Somebody could not, but let's say somebody says, "Bulletin, I want to write a new Holy God, Holy Mighty." First of all, I don't have the skill, but they would have to come under somebody who's a well-seasoned musician who understands theology. And there's, I don't understand music, but there's an understanding behind music and how it does. And it's not supposed to, I'll leave it there. Just like iconography is not supposed to tantalize the senses. It's supposed to, in fact, Orthodox iconography is two-dimensional, not three-dimensional. There's no sensuality to any of the icons. So yes, he was schooled. I don't remember from whom and how, but he definitely studied, and so he's got a degree in theology. He is a priest. He was a deacon for many years and then a priest. And he was schooled under somebody. So when you want to learn iconography, you come underneath somebody. You get the blessing from your spiritual father, and you come underneath somebody for a period of time where they watch you do. And now there's iconographers that go around teaching iconography, like in little church workshops. We've had that done twice here. One time, people were super excited about it. We had a great big crowd. Last time we did it, I'm not too many people came, maybe only a dozen. But they actually do that. But it's just to learn a little bit about it. And essentially, an iconographer is one who prays. To be able to write an icon, you have to really be a person that you fast. Let's say you're going to do an icon of St. Paul. You say, you know, St. Paul, please, you know, ask for your prayers for me, and that I would write this icon to the glory of God, you know. And they fast before they write, you know, right? Just like when we prepare for Holy Communion, they do the same thing when they approach that. Now, when Father Dimitri put them up on the walls, he did drink Cokes, you know, he did walk out. And the music, and if he did listen to music, it was church music inside the church, you know. So, any other questions? So, today, I want to talk the last subject, and it's one of my favorite aspects of talking about creation. I did a lot of theology last week, and I'm going to continue with theology. I'm going to apply it practically. So creation's, we're kind of nothing political here, but we're kind of messing up creation. Everybody agree, pollution, everything else. The claim is last month was the hottest ever on record. Maybe in modern time, I'm sure there were hotter years and hotter days in the past. But, you know, obviously we're messing up the environment as God's creation. I remember when I was at a student, and I've shared the story before homiletically years ago. Well, I was a student at University of Florida. University of Florida, I guess it was. I was a budding contractor, you know, taking business classes. And I think I was working construction then too. Excuse me one second. I remember there's this big mall called the Oaks Mall off of 24 Archer Road. And then they added a section to it. And so imagine Oaks Mall had a lot of beautiful oaks in front of it. And then they built the second section and it wasn't doing very well. And they decided the oak trees were stopping the view. These very old oak trees were stopping the view of these buildings. So, you know, we drive by curb appeal, whatever the word would be. So people didn't even know the stores are there. So the owner went and pulled a permit to have the trees cut down. And some students found out, and the students filed a protest somehow in some way and brought it to court. It was all over newspapers. You know, this is all taking place in me. I'm a budding entrepreneur. Who can tell me what I can't cut down my trees? You know, it's my business, my place. I can do what I want with my trees. And the contractor actually, he had a stay put on. And then like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon one day, the lawyer said that the judge said, nope, I'm not going to enforce this. So they had to appeal it in the morning. So the students had to go appeal again to get another stay put on it. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to do it. But instead the contractor went, the business owner had some contractors come out, take out the trees at night. And so whatever they did, they beat the system, you know? And I was like, man, you know, he won. That's great. You know, he didn't get these little college kids, you know, do that. And then I realized years later, I was so wrong. Those trees were God's. The earth is the Lord is full of and fullness thereof. And so that, and you know, back then as a contractor, I was like, oh, you need to put a house there. They're going to take out all these trees and not think about the terrain and all this kind of stuff. So now I realized I was very wrong. I was not about the politics of it, but you know, it's not my trees. This property is 14 acres here. Legally it's St. Justin's, but really it's God's property. So God's creation is alive and it's animated. And I have to say, my journey to Christ came through, I don't want to say nature, but when I fell away from the church and everything else, I lived in the Keys. I loved the environment down there, diving in the water, fishing, just living, you know, the Keys lifestyle and enjoying the reef and everything else, fishing, snorkeling, lobstering. I just loved it. But looking at the beauty all the time, you know, as a person who was, how do you say, what do young people do? They try to find their own self so God doesn't exist and all that kind of stuff. You know, kids talk back to parents, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, trying to assert yourself. But I kept looking at creation. There's a God. There's just no doubt about it. And I had a really poor witness in my life from some people who call themselves Orthodox Christians. They were very un-Christian sometimes. And so that put a lot of doubt. And I could get into that right now. But that put a lot of doubts into me about the Orthodox faith and following Christ and everything else, because these people claim one thing and they're doing another. And I had that issue with other Christians too. Hypocrites. So I went on from my big look, and obviously I returned back here. Then you remember in 2011, the Deepwater Horizon exploded, and everybody was worried about, oh my gosh, the great damage it's going to do. And it did. I mean, some people did die. I think 11 people died when it blew up. But everybody was worried about everything. And it was really, you know, everybody, there was a full-blown effort. And trying to save the birds, which is all really good. But what happened with that? They had this, the Gulf of Mexico was going to be dead. But what happened? God provided, and I wrote, this is a quote from a newspaper article. The warm water Gulf ecosystem adapted to abundant natural oil seeps, proved efficient at producing hydrocarbon-consuming microbes that munch their way through the oil and methane. So God, you know, so creation, there's a life to it. There's some, you know, this this big ecology. Somehow God provided the fix. It's alive with creation. God's creation is alive. It is vibrant. It is animated with the life of the Holy Spirit. Creation is a living icon of God. Okay? The Psalm says, Psalm 119, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And then one of the great feasts that we look at creation, or do we acknowledge creation, is my favorite, one of my favorite feasts, but I have lots of favorite feasts. It's a feast of Theophany. Now, we don't say Epiphany in the Orthodox Church. Theophany. It's Theos, God, finally shining forth. Epi is your skin, you know, epidermis, outside. And Fanish, you know, God shown above, but I think theologically better, the word Theos. God shining forth. Of course, that's his baptism, and Christ immersed in the water, and said, this might be love, Son, and Holy Spirit descends. We have the Theophany, the showing forth of God for the first time, Holy Trinity. But also on that day, we bless the most basic element of creation, which is water. And the priest says this when we bless the water. It's just part of the many. The prayer is just fantastic. And we here at St. Justice, we bless the pond. And so I asked Archbishop Demetrius, says, you know, instead of going to a natural river, can we just go bless our pond or go into a lake or anything? He says, by all means, but please don't drink the water. He said, maybe bless, but it doesn't mean you purify, which is, of course, the truth. But we take that water and we bless our cars. The sun, because the idea is when we bless the words, we're blessing God's creation. Because it's the most basic element. And this is what we say on that. The sun sings thy praises. The moon glorifies thee. The stars supplicate thee. The light obeys thee. Okay. And St. Maximus says this. We live in the midst of a cosmic liturgy. Meaning all the creation is a liturgy of some sort. Because you have the seasons and everything else. Okay. Deacon John Schiffer Goodies, he was a professor at Holy Cross. He and I did a retreat like many, many years ago. Really a great guy. And this is what he wrote. He loves, he's a scholar, and he likes to write about creation. He wrote a wonderful book on it. This is what he wrote. Heaven and earth is full of God's glory. The world is a burning bush of his divinity, and it is drenched in his presence. Let me read that again. The heaven and earth is full of God's glory. Think about how beautiful. I mean, I went to the beach yesterday. How beautiful is that? I mean, just go there. You know, it's just fantastic. The world is the burning bush of his divinity, and is drenched with his presence. When I was on a mission team many, many years ago in Alaska, I think it was 97, was my first team. I think it was the first team. I stayed at somebody's house. And in the bathroom, there was a sign sitting on the vanity, so they had framed. And there's a quote from Elizabeth Browning. The earth is crowned with heaven, and every bush is aflame with God. And I believe that my nth, whatever, you know, heaven, it's all here. Just God is this close, but we're not able to see. But we could see God or hear God in like the chirping of beautiful birds, you know, birds singing. You see the little puppy playing on the floor, frolicking, or even smile the baby. You just see those very basic things, okay? St. Pius, who said this, the grass is an icon, the stone is an icon, I can kiss it, I can venerate it because it's filled with God's grace. God is an infinite God, and so is his icon. And, you know, think about how tremendous God's creation is. I just read somewhere. I read one time that if you put a grain of sand up, and it blocks your eyesight, but that there's that many galaxies beyond that you couldn't see. But even more so, I just read recently, and I remember at seminary, when I was a student at seminary, it was when they were just realizing how big the universe was, that it was more than just the Milky Way. Before then, they thought it was just the Milky Way when I was born, okay? And now they say as many grains of sands in the whole world is their estimate of the number of stars in the universe. Think about how tremendous that is. Think about how big that Big Bang was. You know? Never mind talk about dark matter. That's old. Do you learn about dark matter in school? Neither have I, but I don't understand this. Nobody understands it. In blessing the waters on Theophany, we celebrate God's cosmic cathedral, the billions of galaxies and stars, and this earth that contains all that God is going to. Now, think about this too. Think about how big the universe is. Think of how big this planet is. Think about how little of this planet is habitable. But you can't live in a desert. You can't live in the middle of the ocean. You can't live in Antarctic, right? So how much of it is livable? And then compare that to the whole universe that God gave this little place. Think about all the life around us, how unique and special that all is, okay? And we need to understand, too, we're an integral part of God's cosmos. The Lord formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him nostrils, breath, and life, and man became a living being. So God made us from his earth. To be humble, what the word in Latin is, by the way. Do you know what the word in Latin is? Humus, dirt. But to be humble is to be like dirt, to be what God made you. Okay? By our nature, we're bound to creation. We're made from earth with the breath of life. The Holy Spirit breathed into us. Just as the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all the animals and trees and flowers are an integral part of creation, so is man. Creation is what God created for us to live in, to provide for us. And here, think about it, God here, it's all communion, by the way. It's all sacramental. Here, God provides for us oxygen, food, water, and shelter. You know, I always like to joke around, God makes the food, but public sells it to us. You know? Our connection with creation is absolutely Eucharistic. You know, during liturgy, you know, and we talk about Sunday, God sends the Holy Spirit down as bread and wine. And what I did talk about sermon, because you can't go everywhere in a sermon, that when we make the bread and wine, what is the bread made out of? Wheat, right? And then we apply our energy to it, we create it into bread. We take wine, we take grapes. I mean, St. Justin's buys the wine at the store, but we'll find out this Sunday when we bless the grapes with the for Transfiguration. I'll explain that later. But this is the season of hearts. Part of the heartbeat of churches, it blesses, you know, everything. And so in Transfiguration, this time of year, the harvest comes in. So a small tea tradition is people would bring in the first fruits of their harvest right to the church. And one of the things were grapes to make wine. Okay, so church, you know, now it's ABC store or whatever. Okay, but we take this wine, these grapes that we grow from God's creation. God provides the sun, he provides the seasonable weather, he provides the fertilizer, the rain, the dew, and we care for it, and then we pull it off, then we take it with crush, and then we do whatever it takes to ferment it, and then we make wine out of it. Likewise with the bread, and then we take it and we offer back up to God. What is his? And we say, yours is yours. We offer back to thee on behalf of all, for the whole world and for all. And then think about this too. You are, you know, I said earlier, you are what you eat. But we're eating God's, in a sense, we're also eating, in eating the bread and wine, we're eating the very body and blood of our Lord, but also what he has given for us and made for us too. It's from the very, very beginning, you know, that this bread and wine transforms starts with he providing that for us. And then he sends out the Holy Spirit upon it. But think about this too. When you eat an apple that you pick from a tree, do you think it might be sacramental? Absolutely. because it's food from God, manna from heaven, apple from tree. We have to remember this. And let me just say this. I eat meat, okay? I enjoy meat. But in our monastic tradition is to not eat meat because that's costing a life. So you got to find that balance. You know, I am less of an eat meater. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sound right. Than I ever been. And I'm very conscious and aware of it. Okay. Because there's a life and all this kind of stuff that's all involved with that, you know? Okay. But then again, we know that God provided that. So I'm trying to find out in my life. And I honor people who just choose to be vegetarians or vegans, whatever, because of their care for God's creation. They're better people than me. They're better stewards for God's creation than me. Okay. The world is not a place. There's I remember an article. We have the stewardship of creation. I remember an article I read where somebody tried to rationalize his, I don't want to say, I'm not too sure, open mining, whatever, is destroying the land. Okay, digging it. He says, no, God said man has controlled the earth and to subdue it. So I'm subduing it and making a lot of money out of it. But that's not what it means. Subdue it just means it's like tame an animal. It doesn't mean to destroy it. Okay, we've been given the job stewardship in Genesis. It says that it's our dominion. It means we have to care for it. God has entrusted us with his creation to care for and do the very best we can for it. It's like when we do construction here, when we expand the church stuff, we're going to do everything in the most ecologically proper way. I wish, and I know our parish council would do it, and I think the whole parish would do it, that if it was good economics to put, what do you call those things? Solar panels on a church. Just to save electricity. But they don't have solar powers enough to run air conditioners here. We could run the lights, but we'd pay so much more money to, you know, economically, it just doesn't make sense yet.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it'd be really great that we were as green. Monasticism is green. Orthodoxy is green. Very clear. Orthodoxy is green. Okay. And as Orthodox Christians, we should be green. Okay. The world is not for us to take things from, but it's a place where it's a place where we try to live our life in Christ. And creation is God's house. In fact, the word ecology is two words: ekos in Greek, house; logos, where we get ology from, which means the reason. Okay, so it's house, God's house, whatever you want. Ecology is the root of it. Okay, where God provided this house for us, ecology. Okay. As Orthodox, I mentioned we have great reverence for creation. It's a living icon. And because it's a living icon, we consider it even sacred, okay? And that's why we recycle everything else. To willfully pollute is to desecrate it. Here's what one bishop wrote about it. Every act of pollution is offense against God as creator. I would say every purposeful act of pollution is an offense against God as creator. I, Ted Pasarczyk, would drive an electric car. I'm really thinking really hard about it. The reason why I don't, I can't get long distance. That's basically it, you know. But one day, Leanne and I, one of our vehicles will be electric for local, and one will be, you know, for long haul. And we have two vehicles now. If you don't know yet, Father Ted is very frugal. I don't spend money. So it'll be a while before we drive our real vehicles to 200,000 miles. Or more. Ultimately, the environmental crisis is a spiritual crisis. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, and I am so convinced of this, the environmental crisis that we have today is a spiritual crisis. Man uses the world and at times exploits it for his own purposes, which I mentioned earlier, forgetting that we're part of a global village that includes birds, fish, animals, etc., bugs. Right now, I remember one time as a little boy, my grandfather, he had a great reverence for creation, and I remember a bee landed on his arm. So if a bee landed on my arm, what do I do? Right? And he just was walking up his arm until it would blow, go away. He was just being gentle because he wasn't going to kill a bee for no reason. Okay. make sure we're doing good on time. Ooh, we're not doing good on time. So our interaction with, I'm skipping some stuff here. Our interaction with creation is sacramental, which is opposite our culture. Secularism rejects the sacred. There's no sacred. There's no sacrament secularism. That means there's no liturgy. Okay. So if we follow logic, our modern secular culture will not see creation as sacred as we do. Won't have this great reverence for creation. Okay. And we Americans are secular consumerists. And so we want to take and do everything, you know, as Americans, it's us, we want to do it. It's our property, like I said before of me, yay, the trees and everything else, you know, I own it. No, it's God's and I have to be good to it. So I think we have a really big problem in our culture with that. Here's from Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote in Brothers Karamazov. I'm going to give you some quotes from the Fathers. Love all God's creation, the whole of it, and every grain of sand. Love every leaf. Love every ray of God's light. Love the animals. Love the plants. Love everything. If you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in things. Once you have perceived it, you will begin to comprehend it, to understand it ceaselessly, more and more every day. And you will at last come to love the world, the whole world, with an abiding universal love. Love the animals. God has given them the rudiments of thought and untroubled joy. Think about a puppy. They don't need antidepressants. Think about it. We're the ones who are really suffering here. Do not. My picture just went off. It just shut me off. I didn't mean it. It did it on its own. It did it again. It decided I was ugly. Okay. Do not therefore trouble it. Do not torture it. Do not deprive them of their joy. Do not go against God's intent, meaning take care of God's creation and everything else. St. Augustine, and this is very great insight here. Some people read books in order to discover God, yet there's a great book. The very book of the creation. Look above you, look below you, note it, read it. God, whom you want to discover, never wrote a book with ink. Instead, he set before your eyes the things that he made. Can you ask for a louder voice than that? Why heaven and earth cry out to you, God made me. This thing did it again. It just keeps stopping the video. Guys, I think it just does it. We're going to give up on it. It just thinks I'm ugly. Y'all can hear me though, right? Keeps chat. There's a chat. I'm gonna make sure I got that. Should it be killing?
Yeah, we can hear you,
Michael. If your wife tells you yes, but she says it's okay for you to pick them up and carry them outside, do that. Yes, we use bug spray at my house, so it's finding the balance. But yes, I mean,
he's not Buddhist. He's Orthodox.
Yeah. St. Anthony the Great, was approached by a philosopher who asked him this. How do you manage to carry on, Father, prior that you're a constellation of many books? He said, my book, sir, is the nature of God's creation, the nature of created things. It is always at hand when I read to read the words of God. It's so true. St. Anthony said this also. Nature declares with loud voice its maker and its master. Okay. Now, where are monasteries normally built? Out away. Why is one of the blessings of this church property that we're away from? I love it. Mm-hmm. You know, God bless this church so much. You should read on our website, The Miracle of the Land. Okay. But when we bought this land, we had no choice but bring a road into the back. And it worked out. And now we love it here. I'm sad because there used to be, when we first bought this property, that across the street was not a development. It was a wet-ish land.
Right.
They put a lot of dirt in. And our field was, we cleared the play field for the kids to play in. I'm so sorry because we didn't realize the kids stopped playing outside. When I was a kid, you went out after church, we played all the time, you know, with our friends. So we put that in for the kids to play soccer and everything else. Yes.
I was watching a documentary on the monastery of Balam, is that how you say
Balam.
Balam in Russia. And they were talking about how for some of the monks, they go out and build them skis because even being in the monastery proper is too busy for them.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's to be alone with God.
Right.
And that's the whole goal. But you can't go do that unless you have a blessing from your elder that you're spiritually mature enough to go out there.
Right.
Yeah, but I love to be alone with God in nature. It's just,
yeah.
You know me many years. You've heard me talk about that before. I just love it to be alone with God, silence. But see, we had a fox living here on the property. And every night that was here, almost every night, I would notice him. And I don't know why I always noticed it, but he would come out of the woods and walk right down our roadway. And I can't tell you how many times we had a lot of turkeys here the last few years. There's some big turkey, big, big turkey. We had a coyote here. I've never seen it. I've heard that. I don't know if that was, what's the word for it?
I saw them. We think they came from the river through the pipe.
Well, did you take a picture of them?
No.
So there's this rumor that I've heard a number of times. How long ago?
A long time.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I also heard there's and sometimes they have turtles and stuff too in there. But I heard about one. I didn't hear about two, so it must have gone on for a little while.
It's probably 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah. There you go. So yeah. They looked as there's no food here and they moved on. So if I heard somebody seeing one, so you're the second person who told me. So I never did see the otters. So and then we had pigs here too, but they were the neighbor's pigs.
Oh, really?
So St. Basil the Great said this: you have adored heavens, beautified the earth, and populated the sea with its own creatures. You have filled the air with birds, which traverse every direction. Pious believers, contemplate these works of creation, which God has drawn out of nothing. Behold the wisdom of God everywhere and in all things. Never cease to wonder, and through every creature glorify the Creator. And there's this elder on the island of Patmos. He said this: do you know that God gave us one more commandment, which is not recorded in scriptures? It is the commandment, love the trees. And so I was talking about monastics being alone. Monastics are alone in the cathedral of God's nature. St. John Chrysostom says, nature is our best teacher. So the Feast of Theophany is revealing God. Remember, talk we blessed thing. Nature, the natural world reveals God's glory. I'm totally convinced of that. Okay. We pray Holy Spirit fills all things, and he does. The chlorophyll in the trees. You think about this, God gives the light to the trees that we eat. I mean, it's just fantastic. That becomes everything, photosynthesis. So, and this cathedral, Cosmic Cathedral, is a temple, and God has made us priests of this creation. We have to be good stewards with it, okay? We can't desecrate it. We have to have reverence for it. It's God's house, his ikos, right? And it's where we encounter him. And I would say every inch of this world is sacred ground, holy ground that God has made, okay? To willfully pollute a sin, as I said earlier, and just like to willfully mar an icon is a sin. Same thing with God's earth. So we have to do everything as best as we can eucharistically. And I'm going to close with these two thoughts here because we're close to our time. When living eucharistically, it becomes difficult to be reckless and wasteful when dealing with God's scarce natural resources. When we say our prayers, we live eucharistically. When we recycle, we live eucharistically. When we say our prayers at mealtime, we live eucharistically. When we live eucharistically, we treat God's natural world as a sacrament. And when we approach the environment eucharistically and sacramentally, we're mindful of God at all times, deserves the proper spiritual relationship we're supposed to have with the world and through others and with Christ, okay? So protecting God's environment, protecting God's house is eucharistic, is sacramental, it's what Christians do. And I would say it's sacramental on some level to even recycle, okay? So creation's God's temple. Here he feeds for us, he cares for us. And in thanksgiving, we give God thanksgiving for it. We live with it in reverence, okay? And I think that's pretty much the time. But I just shared with a friend of mine who's a scientist, NASA scientist, very solid Orthodox Christian. her name is Dr. Gail Wolchek, and she writes that, you know, the most basic element of the world is water. And he says life as we, how God did water, it's just really amazing, because even cells would not exist if, because oil floats in water, it doesn't mix with water. Cells have lipids or something in it, and then cells could not work if water didn't act that way. The world, if water didn't freeze, if water didn't expand upon freezing, we would have, that means it would sink, and then it would end up the whole ecological cycle. We wouldn't have life as we know it today. It means no life could exist on planet Earth unless it's one of only like two elements that expand when it freezes, okay? Or else, so if water didn't expand, there'd be no life on Earth, okay? And she said a whole bunch of other things about that, but let's see. If life on water would not exist, if water didn't expand or freezing, what else she said? She explains how that works. And then there's other things too, you know, just how far away God put from Earth from the sun, how fast we go around the sun. It's the axis tilt, so the weather. So it just adjusts the temperature around the world so that you have currents in the world. I mean, everything is just such an amazing thing. If the moon was so much closer, like we're going to have the end of this month, it's going to be a king's moon and a blue moon, meaning two moons in 1 month, which really means nothing. It's going to be super moons. The tides will be a little bit higher. But if the moon was like so many thousand miles closer, we'd have high tide in Denver. I mean, think about it. You know, how God just said, even Jupiter, is it Jupiter? Yeah, Jupiter, this big, large planet that's way out there. We'd be bombarded with asteroids, unless that's out there, because that's taking all hits. Because it's such a big gravitational whatever out there, that so many of these planets that come into our solar system are being picked up by Jupiter because they're coming in and getting attracted to there instead of hitting the Earth. And then even just the idea of oxygen, you know, it's just the right mix and everything else for everybody, and how much is here on Earth. And just think about how the human body comes together. God did all that. I mean, to me, it's just amazing. So everywhere we look, you know, doctors, they work, they're good doctors. I won't say good and bad doctors, but they understand how God put nature together. Physicists understand the natural laws of science that God gave. I mean, think about gravity. What an amazing thing. So I talked for 40 minutes and I repent. Talked a lot. Questions, comments, criticisms. Jose, thank you for joining us. I didn't get to say hello to you. Yes, sir.
You mentioned about eating meat, you know, and I've taken a life. I thought about, you know, an African indigenous tribe, and they go hunting and they kill an animal. They say, thank you for your life. Our family and this, like, thanks to the creature itself for giving up its life without that. Kind of related to that.
Exactly right. In fact, when I was in Alaska, it was the same thing amongst indigenous Orthodox. When they said there's nothing wasted on the animal, and they killed it because they, their precursor culture said God gave whatever their pagan god was, they gave you this food, and you better use it because if not, the gods will take that food away from you. To this day, well, the day when I was there, they said the old people, so this is around 2000, they would actually suck the marrow out of bones because they didn't want to waste that. Okay, yeah. They just ate everything and let it go by. So that's there. And so I was one time, unfortunately, I was there one time, and Father Ted, we're going to give you the best part of the beaver.
Oh, no.
I had a beaver tail. In other words, just give me lard.
Yeah.
It was so awful. Oh, my God.
It was struggling. They need that, those fats to go through the winter. I mean, for them, yeah.
I mean, it was small. Oh, my God. Amy, awful, whatever.
Oh, my God. I was coming to see you.
Just to you had to eat it. I mean, I remember moose, that was good. Second bite, good. First bite wasn't good. Got used to it quick.
Even so. In a traditional like European culture, like I was investigating going hunting in Germany when I was over there, and like they hunt like as a community, and they have like they lay all the animals from the hunt out, and they almost have like a ceremony, like blowing the horn out of respect for the animals, almost like kind of like a taps type thing you would do in the military. So.
So I think we take food. I think it's really sad that we throw out so much food. I think they say restaurants throw out like 1/3 or 1/4 of food. I mean, that's all. It's really a thing.
So it's important to be mindful of the small changes that you make every day can make a difference. I mean, we all made one small change every day, right? It adds up to something. So.
Yes. And I'd say, so all of us, you know, in part of fasting, I would say, and I'm talking about not eating meat, but living the sober Christian Orthodox life in the fasting way would be very mindful of the things we consume when it comes to recycling, when it comes to the vehicle we drive, all these things, part of living the sober Christian ascetic life, better than fasting, live the ascetic life, you know. So I'll tell my wife I'm an ascetic, I want a new Tesla. Or whatever. I think we're going to do that one day. I feel convicted about it. I even know how to do electric in a house now. It's not too hard to do. I investigated it. So I'm making steps there. When I make the pickup truck that can go 400 miles on a charge.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody online, for being with us. God be with you, Michael and Katie and Jose. I don't know why my picture doesn't show, but I still don't. It's not working, the video here. I don't know why. But thank you guys for being with us. Have a great
night. Thank you, brother.
Good night, Matthew and Bonnie and Michael and Katie and everybody.